Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, it wasn't at that time.
Oh, yeah, that's good call.
Line drive towards center. Over the head of Kane. This might win it. Josh Bell into second. Runner being waved home. Here comes the throw to the plate. He's going to be safe. The ball gets away. The Pirates walk it off. They've won five against the Brewers. Unbelievable. Raise the Jolly Roger in the rain. Enjoy the break. Buccos win it. Incredible. Josh Bell walks it off. Can you believe it?
Every way possible, this homestand. It's been...
Greg Brown on AT&T Sportsnet with an incredible call, the Josh Bell improbable walk-off. It looked like the scene out of the natural.
On that play.
Well, he should have been.
You think he was excited on
that call?
I don't
blame him one bit.
He was excited. That was a hell of a win for them.
I love that call. You don't like it?
Oh, no. I just said he was excited.
I thought he captured the emotion perfectly because if you were watching.
I was there for that game yesterday, a little different.
You thought
than
the same thing.
I saw a couple weeks ago where they were lifeless. You know, down 5-2 in the eighth, get a run. Down 5-3 in the ninth, get two. Down 6-5 in the tenth, get two to win it. It was a fun game to be a part of, to be able to watch it. There were not many people there to start. There were only 17,000 on a beautiful Sunday. And then when the clouds rolled in and the rain finally started, there couldn't have been 1,000 people left in the stands, which was kind of sad because it would have been fun to be able to say you were there to see it. It was a remarkable win to conclude a remarkable week for the Pirates, who answered the challenge of general manager Neil Huntington, play better if you want to keep the team together. And so what do? They went 8-1. Pretty impressive.
So now the question in everybody's mind is, okay, now what? Huntington said they needed a big week or else they'd be in sell mode at the deadline. Had to do better than 4-4, went 8-1. So was this enough to change your mind?
No. They got to go 8-1 again after the break before I change my mind. Great weeks are great weeks. They had a 26-17 start, and they fell off the face of the earth. Now they've had another great week, but they are what they are. They're still below 500 at 48-49. Still not much of a player in the wild card race or the division race. I got to see a lot more. Even bad teams, and I'm not saying the Pirates are a bad team, but even bad teams have hot streaks. I keep going back to 2001 when Cleveland was the American League juggernaut back then, and it came to PNC Park the first year it was open, and the Pirates swept them. I remember on Sunday, Brian Giles scoring from first base on a single walk-off win. The place went crazy. Mm-hmm. Now, in those days, the first year of the park, there were like 37,000 there for each game, and the Pirates swept them. You know what they ended up record-wise that year?
They lost 100 games.
62-100. So even bad teams have good streaks. The Pirates had a good one this week. I think they might have caught Washington and Milwaukee at the right time. Milwaukee looked like a walking dead team to me all weekend. But you know what? All you can do is beat the teams in front of you. You know they're 8-2 against the Brewers this year? 8-2 against them. If Milwaukee falls short, you think they're going to look back at these Pirate games?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought it was a great weekend. The pitching is it's amazing how many warts you cover when you pitch good. And since they gave up those 17 runs, remember that against Philly, the Friday night game, 17 runs. It was the second time in four games. They also allowed 17 in L.A. Since then, the ERA for the staff is like 2.4. That's pretty good, and that covers up, and that's why you go 8-2. They lost the Saturday game to Philly, so they've actually been 8-1 since last Sunday. So good for them. Applause to the players. They deserve it.
Yeah, questionable managerial moves get covered up by clutch hitting. leaving Musgrove in the game, having Tanner Anderson come in to pitch the 10th inning. So things broke right for the Pirates. You make your own luck. They definitely did that this week.
Moran gets thrown out at the plate easily.
Right.
If the catcher makes the play.
But that's the right call in the bad weather to send the guy.
You're trying to win the game right there. Make them make a play. The ball's wet. It's pouring rain. Make them make a play, and the ball skipped by the catcher. It was absolutely the right call. Although, if the catcher catches the ball, Moran's out by 10 feet. But then you go to extra innings.
Yeah, the general manager.
Again, to the 11.
The general manager's job here is to not have an emotional reaction to a fun week, and Neil Huntington will not do that. It's not in their nature to react like that, to have some kind of epiphany or light bulb because a team rattles off five straight wins or goes 8-1 over a 9-game stretch. That's why when Huntington, you know, laid out that challenge or that gauntlet for the team, I didn't take it literally. I didn't think, well, this week is going to define this team. If they pull off this miracle, which it is, you beat a team five straight. This is the first time it's happened in baseball since 2006. They did something. There are like no 5-game series, so it's not like teams ever get the opportunity to do it, but they had one and they somehow shockingly made the most of it. What I don't want this to do, and I don't think this will happen, but what I don't want this to do is if they were conditioned before this week to be a seller at the deadline, what I don't want this to do is now make them a team that is in the middle again, like the last two deadlines where they said, let's add a little bit and let's subtract a little bit more and try to do both, and let's get rid of Francisco Liriano, but tell our fans that Drew Hutchison is going to help us win. Let's trade Tony Watson and bring back Joaquin Benoit and Sean Rodriguez and try to sell our fans on the idea that those guys are going to help us win now, or trade our closer Mark Melancon and bring in Nova and tell our fans that it made us a better team. Like, that's the last thing I want them to do, Ron. Is this,
well, you
like,
know what, though? Their situation's a little complicated by injuries now. This Cervelli thing has become pretty frightening. Huntington was asked yesterday, and I was there in the group that asked him, and we'll talk a little bit about – I asked him about being a buyer if they have a good couple more weeks, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But he was asked about Cervelli, if they're worried about his career being in jeopardy, at least his career as a catcher, because of multiple concussions. He got hit – with the face, when was it, Friday night, I think he got hit in the mask again with another foul ball. And these are multiple concussions, and in this day and age, you really got to worry about that. Now, I don't know at his contract and his history already how much they would have gotten back for him. And yesterday, Josh Harrison leaves the game with a hamstring injury. Now, who knows how serious that is. Maybe he'll be ready to go in his hometown Friday night of Cincinnati. Maybe he won't. And that's another guy that you would – be looking, I would think, to move because he's due to make, what, $11 million or so next year. So that complicates matters a little bit. But I still think at this point you got to look to move your older guys who aren't going to be with you next season. And that's when I asked Huntington, you know, could this team play well enough in the next 2 weeks to make you a buyer? And he was very lukewarm about it. He goes, well, we're built with young players. Our team is built on youth. We like the fact we're going to have a lot of guys under control for next year and beyond. Well, you're not going to have guys like Harrison and Freeze and, you know, presumably Cervelli and Nova are under contract, but I don't know that you want to pay them what you're paying them. So Mercer, I mean, I just think that they're going to be looking to move those guys, and I don't even know if they're going to get much back just to dump the money and then hopefully reinvest it in the club in the offseason. Now, maybe I'm dreaming
and they won't
by
do that.
Saying that. Well, then – then it's going to be an absolute outrage.
Yeah, I mean, they...
again, although it's been an outrage all the time.
Well, right. I mean, they saved $14 million with Andrew McCutchen, and where did that money go? Can someone tell me? Can someone locate where the savings from McCutchen's salary being moved out, who did it go to?
It's not quite 14, is it? They brought in Dickerson, and that's six, so I guess you save eight there, so...
But they also saved Hudson's salary in that trade.
They did.
So, They didn't add it. They slashed payroll. They're down to $88 million. So I don't think that they're saving money now to spend it later. I'd be naive to think that way about this team. I'm also not going to get, you know, I, like you, thought they had a really cool weekend. I love baseball. So when the team gets hot and the games are more interesting, it's infectious for me. I get sucked back into it. But I'm not so Pollyanna that I'm going to say now, well, everything I've been talking about for the last few weeks about their bad drafting and bad developing and needing to rebuild this organization. And, you know, I was very much in favor of them trading Felipe Vasquez because they could get the most back for him last week. And now what they did against the Brewers has completely changed my mind. No, I'm not going to say that.
Boy, and the general, is he pitching and, well, huh? And the general, he looks like Felipe Rivero.
And so I think what's going to happen here is, you know, the Pirates called Neil Huntington's bluff. That was a bluff last week. What he said on Sunday to me was an absolute bluff, talking about they needed to do better than 4-4. Well, now they did it. I don't think it's going to change his attitude or his outlook on the trade deadline one bit.
Now, that was my interpretation of what he said when I asked him the question.
So let's get some of your thoughts here on the Pirates. Did they change your mind this week by sweeping the Brewers? Do you think they're back in it? In your opinion, what are they right now? Are they a buyer or are they a seller? 412-928-9370. This improbable, incredible series against Milwaukee. What did it do in your mind as a Pirates fan? Did it make them a buyer for 2018, or are you still staunchly in the seller camp? 412-928-9370. That is the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line reminding you to text responsibly. It's Cook and Pony.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.